You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome to hour number two of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zgura, Matt Wilhelm here. We're asking you on Twitter, and people certainly like to say it, are liking this, your Mount Rushmore, top four cast members of all time on that program, Saturday Night Live. And it is tough. It's tough to even get down to a top 10.
John Belushi?
It's tough to get down top 10. Come on. I've got three locked in. My fourth changes about every 5 seconds.
I have three locked in as well.
And we will update you on those. We certainly want to get your opinions on that. You guys are doing it on Twitter right now. And also, you guys are letting us know at the phone lines, 216-578-0850. Now, we're going to the Ohio Business Machine Hotline again, bringing in the voice of the Cleveland Browns from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, Jim Donovan. Jim, good to be with you on this President's Day.
Hey, how you doing, Nathan?
Good I'm doing well. So, Jim, obviously, NBC, you guys had the SNL 40 last night. Who would be on your Mount Rushmore for Saturday Night Live cast members?
I'm gonna put Gilda Radner on there. Okay. I was a big Gilda Radner fan, and I was very, very sad that she left us at such a young age. I thought she was brilliant during the early years. I gotta go with John Belushi. I'm gonna go with Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna go with a guy who I thought was incredibly versatile and again had a tragic ending. I'm gonna go with Phil Hartman.
Phil Hartman was so good.
He was great.
I mean, he was
Norm
so good.
Norm McDonald. I mean, you could have a top 10 if you wanted to, couldn't you, Jim?
That would be so hard.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah. Yeah. But Phil Hartman was so versatile.
Oh, yeah.
Everything he could do. I mean, it was unbelievable what he could do.
I certainly enjoyed him. I enjoyed his Sinatra. I thought that was always one of his good ones there.
Yeah.
So, Jim, we're talking, obviously, Browns offseason, et cetera. And, you know, a story comes out today from Mike Freeman of the Bleacher Report with a Browns player saying, think about if we had drafted Teddy Bridgewater kind of in the locker room after the Cincinnati game, openly questioning, I guess, the organizational decision to draft Johnny Manziel, clearly showing a lack of belief in Johnny Manziel and wishing that the team had gone with Theodore Bridgewater. Is this just another bit of noise, or do you think that this has something, this will go somewhere in terms of the Browns trying? Because it seems like, again, it was an anonymous player. All these anonymous sources, again, talking about the Browns.
Yeah, and, you know, unfortunately, when the season ends the way it did, and with five losses in a row, and with, you know, with Kyle Shanahan leaving, and this so-called 32-point, presentation that he made of reasons why he felt it was best for him to move on, you know, you're in that column of, second-guessing, negative, stories coming out, and then kind of people jumping off the ship, it seems. I just think that the tough part for the Browns right now, Nathan and Matt, is that there's nothing you can do about it right now, visually anyway. I mean, there's nothing you can show the fans right now because you're before free agency. You don't know how the new offensive coordinator is going to be because, you know, he can't do anything right now. You're way before the draft, 3 months or so before the draft. So until all of these things can – and still we can start to see some visual proof in the way of new players coming here, or you're going to keep some other players around who are already here. You know, you're in that dead period where you can have, you know, meetings with the media and everything. And it's, you know, unfortunately, it's just a lot of words until you see some action.
Jim, how interested are you going to be to the NFL Combine? Of course, the NFL Network does an amazing job of tuning into all the workouts. Will you be watching? And if so, what will you be watching?
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, you know, because you always look at guys that, just jump, you know, nothing about, or, you know, because even if you watch a lot of college football, as a lot of us do, I mean, still there are these guys that just become, you know, workout wonders, and they become the rage of the whole, you know, the combine, and then it carries through with their college workouts. And, you know, then you have to kind of, Matt, you have to discern for yourself, are they workout guys, or are they football players? And if they're both, then you definitely, you know, you sign us up for a couple of those guys.
Sure.
But if they're just workout guys, then you just say, yeah, but what we really need are football players here. And that's the thing to me that is so interesting, is that you have guys that are physical marvels. You have other guys that maybe don't have great workouts, but they were great players on the field on Saturday afternoons when they played for their respective schools. That's the really intriguing, and that's the puzzle that you have to solve if you're in the Browns personnel department.
Talking with Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. Jim, right now Mike Mayock is doing his conference call that he always does, says he still believes Johnny Manziel can be a difference maker on the field, but's got to get cleaned up off the field. Also saying he thinks the Browns need to get a best receiver possible at 12 or 19. Do you think the Browns need to go receiver in the first round, and do you think the Browns will do a receiver in the first round?
Well, I definitely think they do need it, and I think they need it in free agency too. But if we're talking about the draft, yeah, I do think that you got to go and you got to get one. And I think the pressure would be on Nathan to do it even more so this year because of what they didn't do last year in a really, you know, a good-looking draft last year in the way of getting, you know, wide receivers. And we passed until – you know, we got undrafted free agents, and those guys did well. I mean, there's no question there were some interesting guys there, but still there were some really talented guys in the draft. So I think that the pressure might be on to get a receiver early, and why not get one right away? On the Manziel thing, I'm just going to throw this out to you. I thought that he was at his best last year when he was in a more contained type of situation, and that would be training camp. Training camp is, you know, pretty restricted. You know, it's all football. You live with the football team. And I thought that when he played in those games, and I know he played against number two defenses and maybe even some number three defenses, but, I mean, he really looked pretty good then. I think given the opportunity to, you know, go off and obviously live on his own and kind of get lost in the shuffle of being a backup quarterback and, you know, running scout team, I think that that's when the problems came with him in preparation and in other, you know, parts of his life. But I think that I would hope that Johnny can get himself straightened out to the point where he realizes he's got a career in front of him, but it's, you know, there's kind of a branch in the road right now, a fork in the road, and he's got to make the right decision of which road to take to travel down and hopefully be successful in this business that is the NFL.
Do you wonder about, you know, because teams, and let me ask you this, and I'll throw this out to both of you. You know, Johnny Manziel, we know he lives at the Nine, which is, you know, a hot spot. It's got a club right in its basement. Is that maybe something that the Browns would want to discourage players? Do they have any say over things like
that? They don't, but I think they would in this case.
You know, I remember when Josh Gordon came to the Browns out of the supplemental draft. And I can remember hearing the stories that the Browns went around with him, you know, trying to find a proper place and a peaceful place where he would have no distractions and just a clear route from Berea to his place where he was going to live. And I think at that point in time, in his first year, and this was, of course, when Tom Heckert was the general manager of the team and had risked the number two draft choice, the second round pick, to get him in the supplemental draft, that they kind of went around with him and made sure that he lived in the proper spot and around other guys on the team and discouraged living downtown to him, I think, in his first year.
Well, also, too, wouldn't you think even more so, not only because of, say, Johnny was not in treatment at this point, you would think that his, you know, his, I guess, post-op or whatever you want to call it, like his checkout instructions would be for, from his counselor, would be for you to solidify, you know, a living quarters that allow you to maintain what he has learned in treatment, but also, too, to live out some of the goals that I'm sure they'll have him set while he's in treatment, and that is not being at the Nine, living on the penthouse with all those influences, you know, at your fingertips. And in some cases also, too, Johnny might have to learn to do it by himself with new teammates, not with his friends from Texas, which feel like they're, you know, in some cases the advocates for the Johnny football, where Johnny may wanted to, you know, really wanted to be Johnny Manziel.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, you know, he really is at a fork in the road, I think, Matt, where he has to decide which road he's going to travel down. Now, he's kind of gone down the one road, and it hasn't worked out that well, so he's got to kind of put it in reverse and get back to that point and then travel down the other road, which would be to treat this situation with what it is, and that is it's a tough profession if you don't have these other problems in your life. I mean, it's a tough profession with no guarantees that you're going to make it if you're on the straight and narrow. I mean, you know, there's no guarantee you're going to be great at it, and it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of work whether you're Tom Brady, and certainly it's going to take a lot of work if you're Johnny Manziel.
And Jim, at what point do you feel, whether it's, again, in preseason, you see him going out and executing in year two or preseason games, or maybe if he's the week one starter, he goes out and plays well. At what point do you feel that you can look at Johnny Manziel and truly feel like he's added value to that 2014 draft year?
Well, it's going to have to be with everybody. It's going to have to be with people that are in front of him every day. And I think it's going to have to be judged on an everyday basis, on, you know, every day of the week that he's around the team, whether it's in preparation for a game or whether it's in preparation, you know, for the off season and just getting himself in physical condition and learning a new offense and things like that. I think it's going to be an everyday thing. I mean, I think when this happens and when you've made this kind of an investment in a player and a person like the Browns have made with Manziel that they don't want to give up on so quickly for a lot of reasons, I think that, you know, it's something that you're going to have to watchdog every day. I don't know if you're ever going to be able to, in the foreseeable future, kind of loosen the leash on him and allow him, you know, to go out. I think that you're really going to have to, you know, monitor this thing as much as you can and have him in front of you as much as you can.
Talking with Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. Jim, we'll talk about this, I think, ad nauseum until the Browns get it right, and we've been doing this. I'm sure you certainly have been doing this for many, many years. Quarterback situation, are you really looking at any of these guys at the combine, or do you think the Browns need to address that position more in free agency with some of the people that are out there?
Well, I mean, you know, you look at that list, Nathan, of guys that are out there, as you say, and, you know, unless there's a hidden, you know, gem in there, you know, you wonder where is the magical touch there that the Browns could go get a guy, bring him in here, coach him up, or let him, you know, become the quarterback that I guess he wasn't at his other previous stops. And hopefully you find a little lightning in the bottle and he becomes a very successful guy here. I do think they're going to have to look, you know, in the combine and during the, you know, the college workouts, the pro days at these various schools with these quarterbacks to try and find somebody. You know, I would think they may have to go get one from each category. You know, they still may be in the market for a young quarterback. I don't think right away, obviously, because I think that would be super expensive to go up and try and get one of these top guys up at the top. And I don't know if those guys are worth that.
I don't think they agree.
But, you know, I really think that at some point they probably would get a young quarterback down in the draft. And you look at that list right now and, you know, as I said to Matt last week when I was sitting in for you, you know, the more I look at that list, Brian Hoyer looks better and better to me.
He does, and that was actually my exact question to see. Has anything changed in your mind in the last week since we were on last Monday in regards to Brian Hoyer? I know the Brian Hoyer media train has kind of slowed down, so he's kind of faded away. But do you still feel that same way? And does Josh McCown change anything in that situation? Because, I think he left Buffalo without a contract.
Yeah, here's the thing about him is that, you know, there was a situation with him where I thought, and I know he was hurt, but down in Tampa last year, but there was a situation, Matt, where he appeared to me to be very comfortable with being a backup and being kind of a coach for, you know, the kid that went in there and played against us, you know.
Glennon.
Yeah, and I really thought that, you know, I remember watching a story about him and how he really had become kind of like almost a quasi quarterback coach there, which is fine. I mean, you know, that's really fine. We might need a little bit more of a player now than that. It didn't disturb me, but it kind of, you know, it made me kind of interested to see, does he really want to play? Or as, you know, as a lot of people say, that's, you know, backup quarterback money in the NFL ain't a bad job if you can get it and if you can live with it. A guy that wants to press it more and play right away.
Interesting. That's an interesting take on the psychology of Josh McCown there. Jim, enjoy the rest of your President's Day. Appreciate you taking the time, and thanks for sharing your Saturday Night Live Mount Rushmore. And for those who are listening, Gilda Radner, Jim Belushi, Eddie Murphy, or Jim Belushi, Eddie Murphy, and Phil Hartman. Pretty solid.
There you go.
Pretty solid, I would say.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much. All right. We'll be back with more. Cleveland Browns Daily, who's on your Saturday Night Live Mount Rushmore? Let us know. A lot of people loving this on Twitter. There's a lot of choices. People think you got to have Belushi. You've got to have Murphy, Eddie Murphy on there. One person can get a little love. How about Andy Samberg? He was really good.
He was good.
Kristen Wiig getting some love. A lot of Farley.
I got to, in this case, I'm going to go a little bit older school of what I watch. Because I've gotten off the Saturday Night Live train in the last decade because I've been, you know, busy with kids and such. So
I mean, like, you think about the people who have been on there. Like, Jimmy Fallon, Chris Rock, and they're
Chris
not even
Farley.
Bill Hader, I think, was
Chevy
strong.
Chase.
Dana Carvey, John Belushi, Phil Hartman, Will Ferrell, Eddie Murphy, of course, Dan Aykroyd.
Mike Myers.
Amy Poehler, Tina Fey, Mike Myers. There's a lot of good people who have been on that show. It's a tough, it's going to be tough. I've got three of my four locked in.
Wouldn't you love to be Lorne Michaels, though?
Lorne Michaels had a good run.
Running that ship?
Yeah, absolutely. What about John Lovitz? I forgot. Tracy Morgan?
Yeah. Tracy Morgan's good.
Tracy Morgan's real good. All right. Well, let us know yours.
Damon
216-578-0850. Damon Wayans.
In living color?
216-578-0850. Nathan Zagura, Matt Will. I'm Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.